Hey everyone, welcome to the Creator Economy Club, where every week we host top creators, founders and investors to chat with us about a topic that we love, the creator economy, or how creators are building their empires. Today we were with Zach and Kate from One Day Ant, the management team behind Yes Theory, Erak, and the Cheeky Boyos. They're one of the most entrepreneurial management companies out there, and they're focused on building ownership for their creators. We'll explore how they're enabling Erak to launch Creator Now, a 6 weeks cohort-based class to help creators grow their YouTube channels as a venture that has the potential to scale beyond just Erak's audience and brand. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Enjoy the show. As a small intro, this is the Creator Economy Show. We're getting people we love talking about a topic that fascinates us. Everything around creators building empires and creators being treated as entrepreneurs. And that's, I think, a belief that we all share here, that creators, you know, are not just talent anymore, but they're entrepreneurs. And so because of these shifts, the skills and the mindset required to work with them is absolutely changing. We've heard a lot of stories about talent management companies only focused on the short term, you know, the brand deals, the short term cash flow, etc. And now we're moving to a world where we have new management companies focusing on building long-term equity. And so those organizations, unfortunately, are still rare. Today, we have, you know, Knight Media, we have Thinking is Cool from Josh Kaplan, but we also have One Day Ant from Kate and Zach. And we're absolutely super thrilled to have you guys with us today, not because you are amazing humans, amazing entrepreneurs, but because we have a lot of things to talk and to learn from you. And so we'll split the conversation into two parts. First part, we're talking about One Day Ant, the model, the evolution of the management companies. And in second part, we're going to talk about one of the first business that you're actually building with one of your creator, Erak, called Creator Now. And yeah, so welcome, Kate and Zach on stage. And yeah, quickly introduce yourself and absolutely be welcome to this show.
Thanks, Hugo. I appreciate the kind welcome as always. I'll give a brief background on myself and also really happy to be here and always stoked to chat about these kinds of things because it's something we enjoy and we're passionate about, and it's always helpful to share because I think there's also like a shortage of managers in the creator space, and the amount of creators in the world are growing exponentially, and there's a gap that needs to be filled. So hopefully some people can find excitement and energy through some of the experiences that we have with the creators that we work with, and be inspired potentially to join as a creator, join a creator in their journey and help enhance and build their businesses around them. My background is I am Canadian. I'm from Toronto. Before I got into the creator economy, I was working at a company called Shopify and had my background in the e-commerce space, working with different merchants and e-commerce brands. I ended up just meeting a group of friends that were making YouTube videos called Yes Theory. We just became really good friends, and they needed help with their clothing company that at the time was like launching merch. And I was their friend at the e-commerce company Shopify and had a little bit of background. So I helped them do that more so as just a friend. And one thing led into another, and their channel was growing. And I also had entrepreneurial ambitions. And so I decided to move from Toronto to Los Angeles about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and take a role as manager with the desire to like build out a management company and help creators become more entrepreneurial, because I saw a lot of gap in the industry where managers were just kind of being a little bit more acting like agents, which there's nothing wrong with, but I saw that there could be so much more, where instead of doing transactional short-term cash deals, there was really someone with a long-term focus on equity, infrastructure, and business foundation that could give some of these creators long-term success through the things that they were able to own. And so that's what initially inspired me to get into the space, because I wanted, you know, Yes Theory being my friends to have that infrastructure for their long-term. And then I think things have snowballed. And from meeting Kate, that's been now, you know, a small handful of creators and now hopefully the long tail with Creator Now. But before that, I'll let Kate introduce herself.
Thanks, pal. Hey, Hugo. Hey, everyone. Happy to be here. Quick background on myself. I'm from New Hampshire. I spent a few years outside of college building an educational research center at the university that I attended there, and then went down to New York and worked in a classroom, a fourth grade classroom for a while. So the path was initially and like expected to be just strictly in education. And then when I was working in that fourth grade classroom, started to notice that the students I was teaching were really into Musical.ly at the time, and that they paid way more attention to DJ Khaled's Snapchats than they did to what I was talking about in front of the classroom. And so like this idealist girl from New Hampshire started to really come to this understanding that maybe education wasn't the great equalizer and maybe it was really popular culture. And so started looking like in the space and like how to get in that window. And somewhere along the line wrote an article about what Zach was doing with Yes Theory and the business model behind what I thought they were doing really well, which was that ultimately they had started with a philosophy and ideology, built a lot of content around that, and then started infusing products and services into it. So I thought that was really brilliant. And they were one of the first teams I saw executing in a really interesting way. Sent that article off to Zach about, I don't know, 2.5 years ago, I guess. And so him and I have joined forces since, building One Entertainment, working with other clients, as he mentioned, and then, yeah, building businesses with our clients. So that's about it. But excited to be here, everyone.
Awesome. I'm just going to try something just to see if it works. That's amazing. And so I just want to start by asking, you know, the most central question that anyone that is entering the creator world, because I think there is a big gap between people who are already in the creator world or in the entertainment world, and the ones that are just like, hey, you know, the creator economy thing is awesome. Like, I'll just, you know, get in and discover this thing. What's the role of a manager? Like, what are like the two or three or four functions, central functions that you build for creators or that you help creators build internally?
Good question. I would say if I were to bucket them into a few things, the main one that comes to mind is like monetary, like making money. How does the thing make money? And so that's one bucket with all the different things that come in from that, which is like, you know, brand deals, merchandise, other opportunities like that. I would say the other one is growth. Like, how do you accelerate growth? And the third one I would say is community, which is like, how do you actually help the creator generate something larger than just a lot of numbers that are subscribed, but how do you help generate a community? And I would say the last one is like infrastructure. So those four buckets of like money, growth, community, and infrastructure. Infrastructure being like hiring the right team, having clean books, like from an accounting perspective, being incorporated and knowing what money to put aside for taxes and all that like boring stuff, which I call like the defense. So it's like a mix of this offense and defense, the way I think of it, where the infrastructure is the defense and then the growth and the community and the money are all like a little bit more on the offensive side of growth and success.
And so like, cause just straight away, the way you talk about it, a lot of the, you know, the things that maybe some people have learn from in the world of tech, et cetera, like comes back, you know, like offense, defense, et cetera. Like, what would you say? And, you know, like, I think that both you and Kate are absolutely, you know, like at the forefront of what's happening right now. But like, what would you say that's different in the way you operate, the way your type of talent management companies operate from the more traditional ones? That are, you know, still the majority out there. Not saying that, you know, one is better than the other, but I think that one is different from the other.
Yeah, I think we're really considering, like, especially in the like growth and money categories, we're thinking a lot longer term. So I think what Zach and I are both trying to optimize for with any client we work with is like, what is their long-term wealth and long-term happiness and long-term impact? And so that's just kind of the angle that we come at everything from. So the entire strategy and all the way that you're dictating all of the logistics on a daily basis are very grounded in what is the long term here? And are we going to all look at each other in 5 years and be really happy that we did this the way that we did it?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I would say that the opposite of that, right, which is like, a lot of agencies, if they are managing 50 creators, can't necessarily think long-term with every single creator. So what happens by default when you manage, this is me kind of why we've gone the opposite way, which is if you have too many creators that you manage, you can't think of everyone's long-term. You can't think that everyone is going to be in the same place in 10 years. And so you end up saying, okay, well, we're just going to optimize for short-term success and optimizing the few years that these creators have at their pinnacle, because most creators don't have a very long career. It's just the way it goes on a macro level. I think there's been a few that have been able to evolve with their audience and grow as their audience matures. But overall, on the macro scale, it's hard to find that at you know, within 50 creators. And so what ends up happening is you start to optimize for short-term cash. And with our creators, we have to make those decisions for long-term. And an example of that would be, hey, let's maybe not do this brand integration because we have to push our own startup or our own business that we just started, which might actually make us a ton less money in the next month, but it'll build the equity of this project. And that will be something that will be around in 5 years. Whereas if 5 years from now, we want to stop making videos, those brands won't sponsor us anymore, but this business hopefully will still be around. So that's kind of the teeter totter that we play on.
So if I sort of like summarize the way, you know, that some management companies are working today, they're just going out there, detecting some talent, being like, wow, that person is amazing. I think that's going to blow up. Signing like dozens of creators with like a traditional sort of like a management company deal. So like 20% of everything, 360 degrees that the creator is generating, from brand deals to AdSense to just like, you know, anything. And then we'll sign them over, I would say like something like 5 years. And then like one of those are going to blow up and they're going to make most of their money only thinking short term, getting the biggest brand deals, independently of the fact that, you know, this is great as like a match for the creator, et cetera, where like you would potentially work with way fewer, creators. Would, and that's the question that I asked you, like maybe sign more flexible contracts as to have the relationship evolve and not like be in a locking relationship with the creators. And then instead of like thinking short term, even if you're getting as well 20% of their brand deals, et cetera, or like something like that, you would always help the creators think about like, should I build my own business and promote that business and have equity in that business and have that business scale beyond myself probably, instead of like systematically push not so often relevant brand deals to their fan all the time. Like, would it be fair to compare the two different ways of working like that?
Yeah, I think there are honestly quite different ways at different scales. So for example, there's a lot of big agencies. We probably know, like, you know, the big ones that I'm talking about, like the CAAs and the WMEs. They're playing on such a larger scale because the impact that they need to have is changing the entire industry at large, and their moves impact the entire industry at large. I don't think Kate and I are operating at the same scale. The impact that we're having is a little bit more niche with the certain lives of like the communities of the creators that we're operating within and then those specific creators' lives. So when you are right, and I think what a lot of those bigger agencies do is they go, oh my God, TikTok is blowing up. We don't know what to make of this space, nor are we very familiar with it, but we know it's going to be something. So let's go sign as many TikTokers that look like they're about to hit hockey stick growth or have already hit hockey stick growth as possible. And then we'll figure out what to do with it after and what, how to help them after the fact. But the most important thing for us, because we're operating on such a large scale, is actually market share and how much of that market share we have signed and exclusive to our agency versus the other ones that we're competing with. And then I think retroactively, they go, wow, this particular creator is so impressive and they've been growing so big and their community is so strong. Let's pick this one creator to go start a D2C venture with. And I think we, instead of going after total market share, try to find the one from the very beginning and have the plan from the get-go rather than have the plan retroactively. But that's also because we just don't have the resources and team to be able to sign, you know, 50 creators, to be able to help them all in like a more systematic way, which, like, I think when a WME or a CAA go out and sign a large mass of creators, they're helping them with a very like standardized playbook. which is like, hey, here are brand deals that we'll start pitching you for. And maybe here's a little bit of guidance on your channel, but they're not very hands-on. I don't think they will pick up if you're calling about something that's just going on in your day-to-day life. I think it's a lot more like we're just a hands-off business partner. But then if you grow really quickly and you are able to show that you are worth giving extra attention to, then they have those resources available at that time. So we just kind of play with a different expertise because we don't have the resources around us to go sign a larger scale of creators and then figure that out afterwards.
One thing I'll add to that too is just like thinking about, like, I don't necessarily know if one model is better than the other. Like, I wouldn't necessarily put a value judgment on it. I think so much of it comes down to the alignment between whatever the management or the talent agency is and who the creator is and where they want their career to go. Right. So there are some creators that, like, really what they want to do is sprint at this for 5 years and, like, do a cash grab strategy. And that's totally fine. There's no value judgment on that. I think Zach and I also, what we intentionally do is try to align ourselves with clients that are trying to build something bigger than themselves for the long term. And so that also, to some degree, helps dictate the size of the management company and the types of people we'll take on as clients.
And that's sort of like a fascinating because, you know, coming from the tech world, like a lot of people now coming to the creator economy, we sort of have like this, you know, this analogy of the co-founder. We're like, okay, yeah, like a creator is this, like, you know, I would say like content CEO, and then they need like business CEO or COOs or whatever, right? But for us from the tech world, we're like, yeah, those persons are going to be incentivized on the long term because they're going to get equity in their business. And we know that a creator organization is not just, you know, a startup that you can issue, you know, equity for like a later APO, like IPO, et cetera. And so like, what are the ways for those new management companies that act more like co-founders for creators? What are the ways they can be aligned long-term in terms of incentive structure with the creators, you know? And I know that you guys have talked a lot about like what ownership means for creators. Is it IP? Is it something else, et cetera? Like, so like the short question, to be frank, is like, how can you recreate that sort of like equity upside for management companies so they really act like a co-founder and have the incentive really like to do so?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you kind of alluded to it, which is like, I think the important thing is for it to actually be a partnership and not be management. Kit and I were recently chatting about like, a lot of our thought goes around like, how did we end up in this standpoint where creators are supposed to have managers? And I think what happened was that we just looked at what was happening in the music industry and we were just like, yeah, that should be exactly how it works in this industry. And the structures and the percentages should be the exact same. But I actually think the more I've been in the industry, the more I realize like maybe that's actually not how it'll work long term. And maybe that isn't meant for it to be the way it works. I think this actually came up at dinner with Kate and I last night, which was, you know, managers were predominantly people in the music industry at one point where there were gatekeepers in the industry and you only could get to a record label because a manager had the relationship, or you could only get press and on a billboard or on something because these managers held the relationship. And so as an artist, you had no choice but to sign there or to have a manager in order to do that. Whereas I think now there's the walls are down and there's no gatekeepers and you can use the internet and social media to go directly to build your fan base and get your music listened to. I think it's the same in content, even more so than music. And so I think the role of a manager will evolve. I think right now, in order for a manager to be incentivized to act like a partner and to have long-term skin in the game with a creator, I think they just need to be compensated like a partner, which means that they have real equity alongside that creator in these ventures that they start together. So that those are partnerships for the long-term rather than being them helping with operations and building something, but only being in it for the short-term cash themselves as well. Because I think that's the same reason why these agencies are doing short-term cash flow deals for these creators, is because you can take 10 to 15, 20% off a brand deal and have immediate cash in your bank account. But it takes a lot more long-term foresight to say, I'm going to just take equity in this. And then maybe that equity becomes something in 3 to 5 years. And I'm going to forego the cash in the short term so that I can participate in the net profit and maybe not even take shareholder draws out of this business so that we can reinvest it so that it gives me a bigger payout in 5 years. So I think in order for a manager to do that, they also need to be incentivized in the same way as a creator, which is for long-term equity rather than the short-term cash.
But this would mean that, and again, like I'm thinking out loud right there and, you know, happy to have some perspective on that. But like, it would mean that when you're signing a creator as a manager, you have exclusivity on the venture building phase, right? So like on the venture building, endeavors, right? So like, hey, we sign, you know, a deal over a couple of years. Maybe it's like 1 year, renewable, et cetera, et cetera. And then like every business that you're going to probably spin out, we're going to be the one staffing the early hires. We're going to be the one potentially getting the initial capital, et cetera, et cetera. So sort of like a venture, like an exclusive venture builder partner for creators. But my question, and it's a question that I ask myself and I ask to you, obviously, is like, is it going to be exclusive, right? So like they can be signed on, creators can be signed on when they end, you manage them, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's going to be probably like an infinite number of venture studio for creators are going to be built and that are going to want to give that pitch to creators and get the equity, sort of like, I don't know, like a 20 or 5 or 10% equity in these businesses. Like, do you see that there could be a conflict from like this two-sided business management plus venture building thing in an exclusive contract? I know it's absolutely not clear what I said. So like, if you understood, I'll be absolutely glad. And if you don't, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I think I'll take this one. I think I get it. So I think of it as like it's more positive sum. So it doesn't necessarily need to be like a completely exclusive agreement where the management company is incubating all of the businesses that a creator is doing. But the truth is creators create. Like, that's what they're doing on a daily or a weekly basis, is they're supposed to be making videos. And that is the absolute best use of their time, is building brand in that particular arena where they're really good at things. So you need someone in every creator business that's synergizing. Now, in the model right now, typically that looks like a manager. That could look like an internal operator. It could look like literally anyone, but someone needs to be doing that synergizing. And so there's, right, like all of these creators are now juggling brand partnerships, merch, whatever businesses they're starting, all of these things. And their channel is the ad like placement inventory for all of those businesses. And so I think a manager will, or someone in that operator role, will always be required in order to synergize. And that person then will probably see some sort of upside. Now, whether they're like outsourcing the entire build of the organization to a venture studio, that's like a very different relationship than, oh, hey, we're internally building this team. And I think those decisions are often made in collaboration with a creator, a manager, an operator, and then whatever studio is helping build the business.
Awesome. So like, essentially, if you had like unlimited resources or whatever, but like you would build a talent agency, sort of like a arm, and B, potentially like those venture building operation thing. And then this would be synergizing a lot between each other. But this would be like essentially the perfect department for when they end in 5 years, for example.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. And I think Kate said that incredibly well, which is like, yeah, the synergizing is the hard part. And yeah, I don't think of it as necessarily needing to be exclusive. And I think the unfortunately, like it's a case-by-case basis on the involvement of the manager in every single one. And some businesses might find the perfect venture studio that maybe even came up with the idea and they're willing to take all the execution and they're so experienced with what they're building that there's very little oversight needed. And then the creator just needs to promote it. And the manager at that point is just a little bit more of like a synergizer advisor to the whole thing. And there are some startups where the manager is heavily involved in the actual build. And so that will, you know, obviously have them have a larger part in that business. However, in the world in which these venture studios approach creators directly and say, hey, we built this SaaS tool, we think it's great for your audience, you should promote it. I think the downside there, if there's no manager involved, is just the creator has to make sure that that venture studio is doing everything correctly. And now the venture studio needs to make sure that they're, you know, paying the invoices on time, that the venture studio is hitting the deadlines on, they have to check out the wireframes, they have to look at the Figma files and the designs and see what the UX is and whether they like that. And I think that's the part where the manager helps. because most creators either A, don't want to do that because they're too busy making content and actually building their channels, or C, are not very good at that and they recognize that, and that's where a manager can step in. So it's a little bit more of like the creator can trust the manager to actually vet out the venture studios as well. And in a world in which something requires a venture studio to build, the manager is a little bit more of like the messenger to the creator to make sure everything is going smoothly and to ensure that the brand and the all the things that the creator would care about are spoken for in a way that makes sense to the venture studio. But in the long term, correct, I think management companies that have venture studios can potentially forego that needing to have third-party venture studio come into mix.
Well, it's fascinating. I've like another question, and it's going to be like a super specific question. I'm sorry for people just like listening to this and be like, what the fuck is he talking about? But essentially, like venture studio type of things, what do you think should be the equity split between A, creator, B, management company / venture studio, and C, sort of like a early founding team, right? So like, you know, you have to staff some talent, like a CTO, a CPO, whatever. You have to give them equity. They have like less risk because there is like a lot of distribution already done, et cetera. But so they have less reward. So like, and I know it's a work in progress because we are just exploring as like a whole ecosystem, those type of deals. Like what's the equity split that you're thinking of right now as like an ideal one today?
It's a kind of terrible answer, but it's completely case by case. Zach, you can hop in if you believe something different, but like, I think it completely depends on what the product is. What is the team that's going to have to be working on it? What is their day-to-day going to actually look like? How much distribution is this creator going to be doing on it right now? How much are they going to be doing over the long term? How much will like, how much inventory will they have to give up on the content side to promote it? Like there's so many factors. And then, yeah, in a lot of just like deeper questions that I would ask, right? Like even the way that we've partnered with creators on a couple of different businesses, the splits are like dramatically different depending on how involved are Zach and I going to be on the day to day of actually executing that thing. Are we going to go raise venture for it? Like, what are all of these different factors? And that's, you kind of, at the end of the day, you try to develop a structure where everyone feels really good and is really incentivized in whatever way they need to be incentivized based on whatever that particular business looks like.
Yeah, I think that's the like, unfortunately, the honest answer, because I know I like to get specific too and give people real actionable like numbers that they can put in their own world. But it is just so case by case. I think one of the things that I think about it are, yeah, like how involved does the creator need to be in 1 year? How involved does the creator need to be in 5 years? And how involved does the creator need to be in like 10 years? Based on the vision. And the hard thing with all that is that to a large degree, it's really hard to have a 10-year horizon and vision of what that looks like and actually be right, because it's from the get-go, a lot of vision and hypothetical situations. But I think that's what requires just a lot of communication. Same with the venture studio. It might be something where if there's an idea where the basis for the idea is that it'll get kickstarted with a creator's audience, but then long-term, it will actually require, you know, paid media and prospecting to a new demographic. It will require traditional forms of marketing that aren't just tied to that one creator's community, because this is actually a very large idea. Then the creator's promotion probably won't be needed as much in 5 years. It'll be something that was like maybe previously attached to that creator's face. And now it's actually, you know, it has funding, it has billboards on Santa Monica Boulevard. It has like, it's on bus stops. It's like, you're getting Instagram ads for it. And therefore the creator that should be thought of in the initial stages, which are like our expectations from the creator are actually a little bit more short term. And therefore whoever's going to be around to, work on that business in 5 years and make those decisions and allocate that capital towards the right funnels of marketing, we need to either hold equity for them today so that when we have to go find that person to be the operator in 2, 3, 4 years, there's a pool of equity available for them to tap into and be incentivized so we can get top tier talent. Or, hey, that actually needs to be the management team because they're going to be the operators and they're going to work on it long term. And therefore, they should have equity today so that they can continue to be incentivized when they actually have to go out and find the ability to generate demand without tapping into the creators' community.
Hey, Zach and Kate, just to quickly continue on what you just described, I'm curious to hear what's your take on all the crypto deals that are now happening within the creator economy. Certainly very interesting. Suddenly we all realize how much there's kind of a parallel lines between what happens in the crypto wave and the creator economy and the places where they meet. How do you evaluate these deals? How, obviously, what's your take on all kind of things that happen that are, I think, a little bit scary, a little bit touching fraud, and I don't know if creators are even do understand what they're doing when they're taking part of it. What's your general take on it? And maybe a smaller question, I don't know if you mentioned it, but is there any part of the creative process that you're also involved as managers, which is something that traditional managers are also doing very much and kind of allowing the creators or to continue doing what they're doing while they're developing all kind of future channels and partnerships and ideas in the background?
Yeah, I can answer the crypto one. And I think Kate's probably better suited to answer the creative involvement because that's definitely in her wheelhouse. So for the crypto one, I mean, I think it's, I'm trying to find a better word than sad. I think it's just a lot. I empathize with those creators because I always look at it and go, damn, like if only they had the right guidance or the right people around them to help them think through these things. And I think sometimes we give overdue like expectation that some of these creators should know the difference between like a pump and dump and like a legitimate coin or venture. But at the same time, if they're not educated within the space, and they're at a place where in their mind, a lot of money would be really helpful to making better content, I can easily see how they might choose to ignore the signs or like be blinded to the signs that's probably a bad move. And in their mind, probably they're not thinking that they're doing something slimier or bad. They just think that like, oh my goodness, this can actually bring me a lot of money and maybe this thing is legit. And then they're just not educated within it and they don't have a team around them to tell them any better. And so I always empathize with creators in that situation. I think we sometimes give overdue expectations to some of these creators, not for realizing that, you know, there's still some of them under 21 and having the opportunities to showcase these things in front of their audience. I will say with crypto, personally, my strategy has been, I'm typically very action oriented with things. I like to move very fast. I like to put things into motion. With crypto, I've had to hold myself back because the space is moving so quickly that if you choose to make a move on one idea in one fashion, in 6 months, that might actually become like old, quote unquote, old technology. And that's just like not the way it is done anymore. And you actually need to be more innovative and creative in order for that to have a big splash in the space. I'll give you an example. I think, you know, a year and a half ago, or even a year ago, you could launch an NFT project that was like a cool group of avatar characters that had different features and attributes to them. And with really no story, you could probably get a ton of like interest and noise in the space. And now there's just so much of that, that you actually need to do a little bit more legwork to go above and beyond into the utility and the engagement that those NFTs or characters provide. And so you can't just get away with like this single thing. I was talking to a friend today about if the Bored Ape Yacht Club launched today, the way it launched, you know, I think it was like 2 years ago or however many years ago, it wouldn't be Bored Ape Yacht Club anymore because it wouldn't cut through in today's world. It was able to do that because it was in a place where there was no noise. So long story short, my philosophy with crypto for creators has been measure 1,000 times and cut once. Because a creator's community can easily be tarnished if they promote the wrong thing or they take the wrong swing. So my advice to all creators has been to educate themselves, learn about the space from a fundamental level, understanding blockchain technology, understanding the technical limitations and abilities of social tokens, so that when the opportunity arises, they're able to think of it. Because if they're uneducated, then they can't even think of the opportunity when it's staring them in the face. So I preach education and then, planning a bunch of times. I'll let Kate answer the question on creative involvement with creators.
You just asked the very best question that Zach has ever gotten. It's his favorite thing to talk about. But yeah, on the creative side, like I think the question was whether or not we get involved on any of the production for creators. It's completely client by client. Totally depends on what projects they kind of have in their wheelhouse. So it's like, we don't really necessarily have a lot of hands in Arak's creative process, a bit in the ideation phase, and we'll give feedback on videos and different things like that, but nothing like too heavy. But then that like spans all the way to like I produced Yes Theory's podcast. So when we were thinking about expanding the bringing the philosophy into other mediums, like that was something that I took on as my project essentially. So I think it completely depends on whatever the relationship with the client is. We're doing a lot of like the hiring of creative teams internally. So we'll work with all of that hiring and kind of the management of that team. And so that's where we'll get probably more involved is on that side, is making sure the right people are in place. But yeah, completely depends. I think, yeah, ideally we're helping set the strategy to build out whatever the media properties are as the creator expands and grows. But yeah, completely dependent on the client.
One thing that I was wondering is also like, because, and I think that's also like a great way to segue into the second part of the questions and of the topic of today, which is one of the first venture that you built. So what you were saying right before is that the equity, the structuration of those deals of businesses built with creators with your help can really move from, you know, like if you guys are familiar with Nas from Nas Daily, he's building Nas Academy. Is basically like co-founding a new company and spending like at least half of his time. So obviously he's going to have a lot of equity in this. He's going to be the CEO. He's going to be the one that takes, you know, the business to the next level, et cetera. And it could be down to, you know, Arak working with you on Creator Now, where you're still running most of the company, running the show. And obviously leveraging Arak's brand and time when needed in the best way possible. And so, because obviously this example is an example that fascinates me, because I think it's one of the first creators that is building a business like that with people like you. Can you go through the genesis of Creator Now, sort of like how the idea came up to be, how the first discussions arose with Arak, like, and how did you structure the project initially?
So in 2020, for anyone listening that doesn't know, Arak is a YouTube creator. He grew from 0 to 1 million subscribers in 1 year. And so kind of as he was like rounding the corner of hitting that goal, we were all sitting down going, okay, how do we help other people do this? Like he had really proven this idea that you could still make it as a YouTuber in 2020. And so it was really, really important to Arak to be able to give back in some capacity. And so him, Zach, and I kind of like sat around and kicked around a bunch of ideas. We were like, oh, should we be filming behind the scenes content? Like, what should we be doing that's going to help people kind of like unveil and like, you know, tap into some of the secrets? And somewhere along the path, I think Zach and I were literally eating tacos. And I think he had the idea of let's do something that's a little bit more action oriented. And so it was like, you know what, this is like the number one thing that made a difference for Arak. And this is the number one thing that makes a difference for every creator, is like developing a consistent ability to post on a weekly basis was what we had decided. So we developed what we call Creator Now, which is a 6-week based cohort program. We bring 300 creators through. It's kind of like choose your adventure. There's all sorts of workshops every week. And then we added kind of this layer of gamification on top of it, where all of these creators are put into teams of 20, and those teams of 20 are competing to keep up the streak week after week. And we built a custom tech platform that they attach their YouTube accounts to, which verifies weekly that they're posting. And it's been really spectacular. We're in week two of the third season of doing this. It's been phenomenal to see, like, the real needle movers for early stage creators are around that, like building that habit and then connecting with other creators that are at the same level as them. And so we can add all of these kind of like educational aspects in the workshops and different things, but it's ultimately like the community and the accountability that's making a difference, I think. And so it's been really brilliant to see. I'll let Zach kind of touch on like the business behind it.
Yeah, I was just going to say a little bit more about the beginning genesis phases where we had obviously thought of like, we had been asking Arak like, okay, outside of your life in YouTube, what do you enjoy doing? And Eric is a very special individual where YouTube occupies 95% of his brain, and he likes very little outside of YouTube. Like, he likes enjoying time with his friends and family, and then it's like YouTube is his everything. And so that became like, okay, well, maybe there's no like food product that you use all the time. There's no other business that we can start that's another product. And he was like, well, what about creator education? Eric has taken a ton of courses himself, some that taught him about becoming a creator, some about video editing and production, some about like sales. It's very impressive about him is that he's actually put his money into a ton of resources to teach him skills at a time where he had very little money. And we were like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. And he had found value in a lot of them and attributed a lot of his success to what he had learned in these programs. And so we basically were just like, okay, which ones did you like and which ones didn't you like? And as we looked should we create a course? We realized that all three of us looking around at one another and, you know, other people on the team as well, were all like, well, those courses where you just join and you watch hours of video footage, like those are the ones we all like the least. And all the ones that we felt like we barely even completed. So that's kind of what spurred us to think, okay, well, if we're going to do that, let's not just copy the model. Let's actually think about what is a little bit more innovative and more engaging. And so that's where it became action oriented. That's where it became community based and shared learning experience. And the process of the genesis of the idea was Kate and I would go into a hole, do a bunch of research on what was out there in the market. We'd formulate an idea of what the thing could be, and then we'd bring it to Eric and say, what do you think about this? And he's a phenomenal sparring partner to poke holes in an idea and also approach it from the user's standpoint, because he was so freshly in the seat of someone that had 1,000 subscribers and wanted 1 million and wanted 10 million. So we were like, okay, what would you say if this was something that like you got a Facebook ad for a year ago? And he'd be like, it sounds too like traditional education. And we'd be like, yeah, you're right. We can't call it like school. And then we'd go back and go into a hole and like think about new things and bring it to him. So he was kind of like the person who was fine tuning the edges of making sure that when it was given to his audience, it didn't feel boring. It didn't feel like traditional education. It felt innovative. It felt fresh. And it spoke to creators in a way that would appeal to them and appeal to their desires and ambitions. And we, on the other end, were a little bit more like market research and the building of the things. And so that was kind of the relationship we had as we created.
And what was like the go, no go sort of like a thing that you said, like, okay, let's try this. We're going to, as one day end, put some resources into this, some time, et cetera. But like, if we don't reach that, then we stop. Or if, you know, like, did you have something like that straight away at the beginning?
I don't think so. I think it was more oh, this would be really dope if we tried this out. And then kind of, yeah, built an MVP of a tech platform and like scrapped some technology together. And then it sold out in like 12 hours. And we were honestly completely like blown away by that. We thought it was going to take, we had him launch it like 2 or 3 weeks before, like on his YouTube channel, before it actually would start, because we thought it was going to take us a long time to sell slots. And so it was really the moment when it sold out. And then during the first week of the program, when we saw like how people were interacting with each other and like, oh, we were like, oh my gosh, I think we actually hit something here. Like there's a real need here. And there's like, there's something to this. And like, what is it? And then that's when I think we started really digging and going, okay, now what's the strategy of this business? Now we have some sort of validation that there's at least a need here and that we're potentially getting close to a solution. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add to that is like when I look back on it, we moved so fast at the inkling of like an idea or like something that we thought would be successful that there was no time to be like, hey, if we get to this stage and we don't see X adoption, we're going to move on. Also, like we are not traditionally like have ever thought of ideas like that. It's kind of just been like, this sounds like it will work. Let's test it, build it, see if it'll work. And then if it does, we'll go on from there. Creator Now has been an actual experience of like learning as we do. I wish Kit and I had the vision from day one on where it's going to go. I think it'll change multiple times. And I think that's actually one way of doing it. I think a lot of other people might be a little bit more like in the world in which what my answer was for crypto, where you measure 1,000 times and you cut once. we've been like cutting from day one, I feel, on Creator Now. And then sometimes we might have cut wrong and then we go back and try to change it. So here it's been a lot more learning through action and adjusting as we figure out like, oh, wow, we thought people really wanted, pre-recorded content. We've actually learned people want more community. So we're testing all of our assumptions and figuring out which ones are right or wrong.
So like, what's the status right now? Like in the sense of, you know, you were mentioning earlier on, maybe a creator is getting involved for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years. And depending on that, the type of like venture that you build would have like a different structure, equity story, et cetera, et cetera. Like right now, it's mostly your time that you're putting in. Like, and how do you see this evolving in the next 6 months to a year?
Okay, you want me to go? I think a lot is still in the air, but I think what we've realized is the main thing that we're doing that not a lot of other people in the space are doing is just providing a space for creators to come together and help one another and connect with one another. There's a lot of other things that we do, like the workshops and the learning and the pre-recorded sessions, et cetera, but there's competitors for all of those. But what we've found is our sweet spot is that we've been able to foster a really strong community, and the creators that are part of our community genuinely have built what feels like lifelong friendships with one another in a very short amount of time. And that's what I think has been special for us that we didn't think of when we first got in here. We thought we were getting into education. And what we've learned is that education is actually a byproduct of like a shared experience with other individuals who have the same goals as you. And so you're not trying to start with education, but you're starting with, here are a lot of other people that share the same goals as you. You are now friends with them and you're going to help one another get there. And it's a positive sum experience towards these goals. Rather than YouTube has felt traditionally very lonely for a lot of creators, because not a lot of creators have people to share those experiences with. They end up editing when their other friends are going out and partying or whatnot. And it's, I think, really empowering for a lot of these creators to find people all around the country and all around the world that are spending their night inside with them editing or thinking of video ideas when they're thinking of video ideas and feeling the same challenges that they are. And especially at an early stage where a lot of creators will start, have a few thousand subscribers, still not be making any money, it can get very daunting and discouraging to go from your 14th video to your 15th video, or there's not a lot of motivation to go from 5,000 subscribers to 6,000 subscribers. But I think when you're part of a shared community and everyone's celebrating each other's wins and everyone is like helping one another get to the next step in the journey, that is incredibly motivating in the early stages of a creator's career. And so I think we want to double down on that and build out tools that can help creators meet one another, meet other creators that are within their niche and within their space, that have relevant information that can actually be beneficial and relevant for them to get to the next step in their career. And I think one of the issues that Kate and I are really passionate about solving is that a lot of creators stop a few videos into their channels. And I think that that's because of that loneliness and that discouragement when they don't have immediate success. And so if we can provide something that generates engagement from these creators and helps them stick to it at a time where they would previously become discouraged, then hopefully they actually get over the bump and get over the hurdle and see long-term success, because they end up getting that recognition that keeps them excited about the thing, which keeps them creating, which then means that they hit that larger scale success down the
Beautiful.
Road.
Beautiful. I'm just going to start accepting questions from the audience so people can ask the question that have been wondering for a few minutes. I have, you know, waiting for people to raise their hands. I have one question, which is like, I know that Scooter Braun, if I'm correct, is one of your mentor. And by the way, the story, and you know, we don't have time for the story because it's an amazing story that deserves like just a long minutes. But like, what are like the three lessons or the one lesson that you took from him as the, you know, one of the main, I would say like star manager and one of the most famous manager out there?
Yeah, I'll give one really quickly that has always stuck with me. He told me, don't take the side of the client, take the side of who's right. And I remember that all the time, because what he meant by that is there are a lot of managers out there that every time their client says something, they go, yeah, I'll go execute that. Or, okay, yes, you're right, I'll go do that. And they end up becoming yes men or yes women to their clients. And I think one of the most powerful things that a manager can do is actually push back and check a creator. And I think that is increasingly important as the creator becomes more well-known and more successful. I imagine in Scooter's world, there are few people that, you know, here, if Justin Bieber is saying an idea, there's few people that might tell him, I don't like that idea, or I think that's probably a bad idea. So it's like increasingly important for his manager to be able to say, actually, here's why I don't like that. And let's like figure out another solution and be able to push back. And so that has always stuck out to me because it's made me realize that like, yeah, my job is not to just take this individual's dreams and put them into action and fruition and just become a glorified assistant. The real thing is to become a business partner. And as a business partner, you're actually supposed to have an idea meritocracy where the best ideas rise to the top. And if one is not able to challenge their partners, then that creates an unhealthy dynamic. So that's the one lesson, one of many, but one of the more prominent ones that I always think about that in the times where I'm afraid to push back.
Matteo, if you have a question, take it. And otherwise, I'll try to find someone else. Put on.
No, I totally have a question. Zach and Kate, first, thanks for taking the time. This has been really interesting to hear your guys' perspective and story. I'm curious because I feel like you both, right, have been at the forefront of helping creators think and grow as brands and building their own worlds, but that can probably lead to some like figuring it out as you go. And so I'm just curious if looking back, there was anything, whether partnering with a creator, a specific product or idea or something else that you guys really felt like was maybe a missed opportunity or in hindsight, you would have pursued a little more.
It's a really good question. There's probably a million. I think there's been a lot of mistakes that I think Zach and I both have made on the path. I can speak for myself. I think there's so much of what management actually is the management of human dynamics. And so it's easy to just focus very intently on the missed kind of opportunities on the strategy side. I think like, oh, we should have done that project, or we should have doubled down on that, or we should have invested more energy in that. I think there's certain circumstances where it should have been less, like we invested too much in something. There's an example with Yes Theory, which is like right before the pandemic, we started building out a live event series. And so there's things also just in the timing of things that don't necessarily work out. But I think a lot of it comes down to becoming a better human and becoming a better partner and manager as you go. There's no real right or wrong paths in a lot of the way that you're developing creator businesses. And I think when I look back and I go, what are the mistakes that I've made? It's more on the human dynamic side than on the strategy side.
And I'm sorry, Zach, because I absolutely cut you. So please go ahead.
No, I think Kate's answer is right. I would say the only other one that comes to mind is I think when the pandemic hit and travel took a hit, I always look back and think there's a really opportune time to acquire a business in the travel space and add a creator to it, knowing that travel would someday come back. And I think there was just so much going on that we missed that opportunity. So on a specific angle, I think that would have been something that, you know, is not irreversible, but that was an opportunity to get into something at a time where you could have bought something that was distressed. So that's one.
When we listen to you too, like we obviously understand that. You're just kidding it. I'm not just saying that because I like you. I'm just saying that because it's obvious. But you're still too rare. Like, you know, people like that, again, like we are lucky to have, Josh in the, followed by the speakers, in the audience. I tried to invite him, but he's not available right now. But like the question is like, how do we 100x the number of people like you? Like, how do we do that? Like, how do we just pour an amazing number of great people into this whole creator, operator, manager, venture builder sort of things to actually build 100x more empires led by creators?
It's a good question. I think Zach kind of alluded to this before, was, I don't think either him or I sold on. Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is something Kate and I talk about a lot, which is like, is that the way this will go? Is it realistic to think that this space will have dozens or obviously thousands and thousands of managers that do this and are able to help with this kind of approach? And then I think if the answer is no, then what's the alternative? I think what we're exploring is the alternative is, can it actually be something a little bit more like productized? And can that be something where a large portion of the guidance and direction that Kate and I provide to the creators we work with, can that be something that we put into like a standardized product that guides a creator? And then when they get to the level where they really need a little bit more of like hands-on help, then they tap into that pool. Because I just don't know whether in the long-term scale of it, every creator's career is such a snowflake. And I mean that it's like unique individually, where the same principles of like what, that's why I say when I compare it to artist management, an artist's career across all artists is very similar. The revenue streams are almost identical. The ways that they grow are almost identical. There's not a lot of like innovation there. And I think the recent innovation is like, thanks to them becoming actually more creators, whereas creators are like completely different and there's so many different channels and nothing is standardized to a large degree. So I think that that's, it becomes really, really hard to have a lot of managers. And then I also don't know if those managers need to be external partners like us. I think maybe those managers can start to look more like internal CEOs at some point as well. So I think the short answer is I don't know if that actually ends up needing to be the case, is that there's like dozens and thousands of Zach.
I think the question I ask all the time, and Zach and I joke about this, is like, I want to know what is like an 80% Zach in your pocket look like, right? Like there's a fair amount of what we do as managers that can be like programmed. And that like up to the 80% mark. And then that 20% is like, that's where like the snowflake stuff is happening. That's where like you're really considering like, what is this actual business? Who is this actual creator? What do they actually want? What is the impact they want to have in the world? But I think you can get to 80% through guided kind of stuff. And so that's a big question we've been asking as well, is like, there's also going to be this long tail of creators that is never going to be able to access a Zach. Like it, but they need some guidance. So how can we help develop that guidance and that expertise in ways that people can access that don't require them, A, to give away 20% of their revenue too early, and B, like actually get them the insights they need to take those next steps?
Yeah, I mean, we have like, I have so many questions that I could ask, and that we have like another episode easily after that. I just want to make sure that Hassan, welcome to on stage, and that, you know, if you have a question, you have the time to ask it.
Oh, I appreciate it, Hugo. You invited me up. That's why I thought you're in that way.
Things to say. So I'm like, hey, you know, might as well.
No, overall though, the conversation was really, really well done. I don't necessarily have any questions overall. Thank you guys for speaking. Really appreciate
just
it.
Just so everyone knows, Hassan is a team lead in Creator Now. So I appreciate you being involved on and listening in on this.
My God, no, 100% Creator Now is definitely very innovative, and it's only going to go to the moon. 100%.
All right, so I guess that we have...
We placed him.
But
you guys can you transfer me later.
Yeah, I'll transfer you after this.
And Serena is on stage. It's the same. Serena, she's absolutely smart. I saw her on the audience, just invited her on stage. So if you have an amazing question or just something to say, you're welcome. If you don't, that's fine.
Hey, good morning, good evening, everybody. This is Serena. Hugo, thanks for hosting today's, podcast/interview on Creator Economy Club. I've been following this club for quite a long time now, and I just wanted to give you a shout out for just consistently hosting these things, you know? Zach and Rodolphe and everybody, thanks so much for this wonderful session. I did have a question. I know we talked about like there's no set career tracks within the creator economy today. And I would very much love a roadmap of like what are the different types of creator careers that will happen in the future. And how soon do you think, you know, there will be some sort of sophisticated career track for, let's say, creators who are Gen Zs right now, and whether they will be some sort of like, you know, there's engineering boot camps and there's a lot of different types of career tracks designed. trend for people who are pursuing traditional career paths. And I wonder when that will form, like what is the V1 of creators becoming a like a proper job title for somebody?
I think there's a number of different pathways. I'm going to try to list some off as I'm thinking of them. One I would say is like your kind of typical lifestyle creator, which is going to be the creator that is just kind of generating cash flow in a business, and they're doing that instead of a job, like a 9-to-5 job. I think you're going to have kind of full-blown media companies that develop, and that's going to require all sorts of different talent. So that looks like producers, editors, different synergizers, operators. And so there's going to be pathways for people to kind of enter the creator space doing any of those main functions. That I would think as like, that's the media company entity. And then you're going to have at the media companies that hit scale are going to also be developing businesses outside of them. So you're going to have all of these kinds of operators in those realms. I think you'll also continue to see kind of like part-time creators, which are just doing it on the side to help build brand. I think we're going to see a rise as well in creators internally at companies. I think more and more companies are going to need to build like characters and faces. And so that will be a pathway for certain creators to develop. Yeah, those are the ones that come to mind right away.
I think that last one is one I would double up on. I think more companies are going to hire creators and will need a voice to speak to a particular audience that has a face. And then I think the other one that comes to mind, which I think is already happening and probably the most easy for creators to get into today, is becoming like video production companies, where the social ads of the future won't be created by agencies that are charging an arm and a leg. I think they'll be a lot more democratized through creators who have video production capabilities, but potentially need money in order to do their own thing. So if a creator, and this is already happening, right? Like a lot of creators wanted to focus on their own YouTube channel, but then they take cash jobs from different brands to create social ads for them. And so I think that's probably the number one way currently that it's happening, where a creator can make money and then redistribute that money towards their own career.
I'm just going to say, amazing. I'm going to have a lot of different snippets, to potentially share out there. We've been spending an hour together. We could have spent 10 hours more. It's been a real pleasure to have you. Thank you a lot, Kate and Zach. Always super, super thrilled to have some of your time and some of your brain juice. I think we're just going to wrap it off, and we're going to share the recording in a couple of weeks. In a podcast format. And so for everyone who wants to just forward that to friends because they've had some great realizations, please do so. And in the meantime, I tell you, I wish you an amazing morning, evening, night, wherever you are in the world. And I wish to see you very soon on the Creator Economy Club.
Appreciate you, Hugo. Thanks for having us, man.
Cheers, guys. Hey, thanks for having taken the time to listen through the entire episode. It means a lot. And that probably means you liked the episode. So if you did, please consider rating us 5-star on Apple Podcasts. It does help us a lot. And if you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, send me an email at hugo@armthecreators.com. Thank you very much and see you next week.